We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Oh, what a Monday we have. We're down here at Gillette. You all right over there?
Yeah, I'm good, baby.
You came in hot, didn't he?
I
know.
How about me? 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
How do you like that? We don't even spend time. We got to get right down to business. No funny talk, no funny clips from Friday, no laughing.
You're happy about jokes.
Okay?
You had a lot on Friday.
Sit down.
Use them tomorrow.
Oh, we'll get to it.
Talk about the worst stretch in Boston sports,
it might be
in the last 15 years at least.
Yeah, very well it might be. What do you say, Foye?
Hello, Lou.
What do you say, Mago?
What's up?
Yeah, we're down here. It's a Patriots Monday. We are at Gillette, and I can say this. As of right now, we are expecting to talk to Mac Jones. Like, I don't know, from 4 to 6. We have not been told otherwise. You can speculate that, that ain't going to happen. I have no idea. But right now, we are expecting to talk to him because let's give you the latest. And obviously, we'll get into this game with the Patriots losing. They're now 1-2, 37-26 to the Ravens. Let's start with this and update because obviously, Mac Jones leaving that last play, hopping off the field. That awful photo that he has now, that's actually the front page of the Boston Herald, the sports section at least. This is an update from one Tom Pelissero. We'll get your thoughts on it, guys. Tests confirm that Pats quarterback Mac Jones suffered a pretty severe, quotation marks, high ankle sprain Sunday's loss versus the Ravens. Sources tell me in Rap Sheet. The hope is Jones won't need surgery, timetable to be determined, but hard to imagine he plays this week. For the Packers, he followed it up shortly after with Mac Jones is getting a second opinion, so more will be known on the time frame soon. Not good.
Well, if you're going to make a prediction just based on facial expressions, body language.
He's dead.
Screams. He's dead. I feel like we should go ahead, Tyler.
You remember the Marcus Smart NBA playoffs ankle injury? He came back 10 minutes later. Yeah. Like he died in the court.
Yeah. So I was sitting there going, I was like, wow, but that his leg wasn't like hanging from a thread, right? It wasn't like he broke every bone in his ankle and ligaments, but I like the fact that he wouldn't allow himself. He was too proud to lay on the ground. Wouldn't lay on the field. I ain't never going to lay in the field. So
He hops
off.
Well, we got to laugh at the poor guy.
Watching it. Lay down.
Yeah, I know. I was kind of like, just stay down.
But he won't. And then he goes straight to the tunnel, almost like an NBA player in a way.
Well, he goes hopping off the field. And I wonder, in retrospect, if he knew where all the cameras were. Because he's hopping off the field, trying to grin and bear it and get over to the tunnel as quickly as possible. And then, by all accounts, once he was down there, he let loose. Like everything.
Why? No, it was more like Tonya Harding, you know.
Nancy Kerrigan.
Why?
So I got the sense that he's like, you know, saving face publicly. And then when he thinks he's in the privacy of the tunnel, I think you just got to look at Chris Sale's
history. Why? Why?
No, it's a bad photo.
I felt bad for him because
you're not
going
to be able to.
Have you ever had those? Because I feel like he's never really been hurt though. Like he's never really had.
Well, this is the second week now. Two out of the 3 weeks. Remember Miami? He didn't meet with
in his career, like he was never really like a severe injury where you're out for the season. Like you break your leg, you blow your knee out or something like that, and that feeling is pretty scary if you've never felt it and never dealt with it before.
Something really, really hard.
Yeah. So
okay.
I do think
Nancy
that there was an over exaggerated emotional reaction because of that.
Well, yeah. Well, you've never been hurt before. The first time you get hurt, you're like, my leg, it's gonna fall off.
Oh my God, I'm gonna die.
You know, it's gonna happen. But I was. It was kind of. I don't know if you noticed this now, but look at that during the break when he was like hopping on his right leg.
Yeah.
It's like, my ankle. At one point, it looked like he tweaked his right quad. Did you notice this?
He grabbed it, yeah.
He's like, my ankle. Oh, yeah. My quad. Like, it looked like he was putting too much pressure on his right leg. But anyways,
Stop.
I mean, we're joking around. We shouldn't be joking around.
No.
Because it's obvious
serious.
Now. If you're looking at Mike Giardi, he followed up the Pelissero tweet and said, means a significant tear, which was the fear. Team source just now said he'd be surprised if Jones avoids surgery, especially knowing it could speed up the healing. We'll see how team and players decide to play this. Quote, Mac, we'll do what it takes to get back. We know that, unquote, said the source. So, not good. He's going to be out for a while. I mean, he's going to be out for a while. We don't know. I mean, I don't know. You tell me. I've never had a high ankle sprain, but I understand what they say. You know, they always talk about, like, you'd rather just have a break of a bone than, like, you know, a sprain takes longer. Surgery can speed it up.
Well, I've had it about a million times, and I do know the first time I did it.
How good are the drugs?
Well, I didn't take the drugs.
Hardo.
I'm a hardo. I got to feel the pain to know if I'm real.
I want to throb all night.
But I do know, like, not like it matters, or not like every ankle is the same. But I do remember it was so bad.
Hashtag not all ankles.
Yeah, right. I played through it, but it was a nightmare. It was a freaking nightmare. And then I ended up having surgery as soon as the season was over. But it just, whenever you hear, like, when somebody adds high to the ankle sprain, like, ankle sprains, oh, okay, no big deal. High ankle sprain is like, oh, it's like next level sprain. Like, you might as well just, you know, just blow it out and just be done with it, because it's, you never get over it and you're constantly dealing with it. So I know there's a lot of swelling. I know Mike Reese mentioned this last night on the post-game show about how initially there's a lot of swelling, obviously, right? There's going to be a lot of swelling.
Yes,
they got to get all the
Don't
swelling
take
out
the
first.
Shoe off.
Yeah, that whole thing. They got to get all the swelling out first, and then figure out what the deal is. So he gets the X-ray. It's no broken bones, which I actually would rather prefer. I'd rather break like a little fracture of my foot or something like that than deal with soft tissue damage
that depends.
Takes forever.
That was I had a bad injury. I dislocated my ankle, tore ligaments, and there was like bone fragments in there, and it was bad. It was like basically May. I got back in August. In late August, tried to finish the year on it, but it wasn't right. It's still swollen, still ugly looking. So, I mean, that's the biggest question now. Mac Jones is out, and now you're moving forward. And unfortunately, we're going to get more into it next block. I actually thought for like three quarters until he threw the first interception, that it was probably the best game I've seen him play. Now, you got to finish the game at this level like you do at any level, but for three quarters, you're like, there it is. Moving the football, taking shots down deep. At that point, he was successful with it. I thought he looked fantastic. You know, so, I mean, and then all of a sudden the pick started coming. And, of course, at the end, a meaningless play, right? They're down. Meaningless play at the end of the game. You almost wish that was a 3rd and 17, whatever it was, they didn't get, or you know, and just end the game and just we could talk about the loss. But instead, you're talking about a quarterback now that's going to be out for a long time. And it looks like it's Brian Hoyer time.
Well, so we will know based on just his general availability. So if he walks in here, limps in here, wobbles in here, I would assume – like he would be playing, because they wouldn't let us talk to him, and we wouldn't be down here if he wasn't going to come in and talk. Right? They would never set us up, right?
We would be
do
down
that?
Here.
Well, they wouldn't just be like, yeah, come on down. You're going to talk to him between 2 and 6. They wouldn't do that, would
so
they?
So if it's not him, it's their offensive coordinator, Brian Hoyer?
Brian Hoyer knows the system.
Oh, that's right.
But the system's changed. We should ask him that. We always hear you know the system, but the system's changed. Do we still know the system?
Yeah, and plus,
or do we get Billy Zappi?
Oh, no. You don't get Billy Zappi.
What if you get neither and you get Matt Patricia, the actual offensive coordinator?
That would be fantastic. We just need some time.
I mean,
make sure you set up while you talk to him, please.
Oh, yeah. It'd be great.
Okay, how's everybody doing?
You know, you should go home and change and wear something a little bit more professional.
You're the one here.
Show some respect.
I mean, I got shoes on.
Flip-flops and a t-shirt on.
Yeah, you're not dressed
in a dress.
But we both got the beards going. Yeah. So, you know, just put that number 2 pencil behind your ear. It'll be good.
Well, I want to ask because, we're trying to follow this as all the updates break, and Tom Pelissero said that Mac Jones is looking for a second opinion.
Yes.
Do you read into that at all? Like, usually if you're looking for a second opinion, you didn't love the first opinion.
Correct.
Is it possible that he's just trying to get due diligence and make sure that there's, you know, which side of it, I guess, are you reading into there without more information, which probably will be forthcoming at some point? Is it that it seems a lot worse than he wants it to be, so he's going and trying to find someone to give him the right answer.
That's usually the way it
works. Or is it the other side where they're like, hey, you know, this shouldn't be that bad. Maybe you'll be in a boot for a week and a half, but you'll be back, you know, for week 5. And he's like, no, I have never felt pain like that. I need a second opinion to safeguard my career and my own health.
I don't know. I think sometimes I think the second opinions, if you don't, there could be that. Like, hey, you know what? I don't like what you said. I'm going to find a couple doctors that tell me exactly what I want to hear, even though it's not in my best interest. I always was curious, like, why you have this multi, this billion-dollar company, this Patriots team. It's a multi, it's a billion-dollar company. They don't go cheap on doctors. They get the best doctors. They don't get scrubs. They don't get guys that don't know what they're talking about. Most people,
everybody.
Yeah, not that guy. They guys come to see their doctors. I know who their doctors are. They're great doctors. But for some reason, like, they'd rather have somebody else tell them the exact same thing.
Is it possible that he's going down south for a second opinion?
Yes.
Yeah, I believe that.
Especially, seeing, I don't know if you guys saw that story, SI.com. I think Doc Flynn over at NBC Sports Boston tweeted it out. There was a story in SI in 2019 about the 18 season when Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa both had high ankle sprains in that same season when they're going for a national championship. And they both returned in 4 weeks. And it's because the team doctors, they have this new, whatever.
Tightrope.
Tightrope, it's called. It's just a surgical procedure. So it's kind of freaky, but it's still like, I'm just looking at different methods, but it gets guys back. So apparently, I don't even know what it is. Surgeons slip a high-strength suture through small holes in the bone, fasten it with a small metal buttons, and then tighten it as you would a zip tie.
Zip, zip.
The procedure only takes 25 minutes. But they both came back, like, a lot shorter time frame than most people thought that usually do from this. So is he going down to Bama, talking to these doctors? Like, hey, I need tightrope. Tighten this puppy up, right?
Yeah.
I think the doctor himself is in San Jose. So maybe it would be a cross-country trip. I don't know. Maybe he would come out here.
The Alabama certainly... doctor is in, like, I thought he was in, like, Vail.
I don't even know.
Wouldn't Kraft fly that doctor here?
Oh, in a second. In a heartbeat.
You would think. The private jet?
You would think. Hey, real quick, we want to get to the Patriots next block, but a quick update here because it is Celtics Media Day. The players met with the media. You're going to hear some of that next hour. But just some new stuff we heard over the weekend. Kevin Frazier from Entertainment Tonight, friend of the show.
Definite friend of the show.
By the way.
Listens all the time.
Had a couple of very interesting tweets. Now, he's a Hollywood guy.
Yep. He is now.
So you think it's more of a Celtics Boston sports source, or do you think this is more maybe Hollywood, in case someone will say like an actress or
to me,
an actor?
To me, it seems more Hollywood.
Which is what it feels Nia like, Long might be.
Exactly. I feel like there's more of a Hollywood connection, insider information. Like, we're buddies, and we've seen each other locally at parties and restaurants.
Yeah, so two very interesting tweets. The first one, multiple sources confirm. Celtics female staffer's affair with Celtics head coach Ime Udoka was uncovered by her husband when he overheard a private conversation on a home doorbell camera. We're assuming that's Ring.
Yeah.
Okay, it was followed up with, we can get to both of these, but it was followed up with, according to a well-placed sources, even after the affair was discovered by the Celtics, the female staffer continued to work with Nia Long on her move to Boston. Nia did not learn about the affair until disciplinary action by the franchise was made public. Two things. Number one, Celtics knew this was the girl that was having an affair with Ime Udoka, and she was still out around town showing Nia houses. Like, this would be a beautiful house. It's right down the block from mine. It's fantastic. No, this would be you and your family. This is great. You guys should stay here.
I would put
all
the
knowing
right
that this
here.
Is coming out. Like, all of it. And she was still working with it.
I recommend a king-size bed for just for the shape of this bedroom.
Yeah.
Wow.
But, I mean, and the ring was kind of what busted. So you tell me that. So I don't know. I get notifications when I'm away that someone's at my door. I can talk to them, that type of thing. How does this thing happen?
All right, so we're talking about, like, the ring cam, right? The doorbell camera.
Yeah, because I think you got a little
that
more
Shaquille
information.
Shaquille O'Neal. Like, yeah, so what I've heard is that there wasn't, like, so I think a lot of people.
Wait, NBA Insider?
That's me. Okay. NBA, is this more of an entertainment
you can add
insider?
A little bit to it, yeah.
I would like this music for my inside information.
Yeah, go ahead.
You're on fire today, Ryan, by the way. So what I heard is, like, I think a lot of people are drawing the conclusion that, hey, like, Ime was, like, rolling up to this woman's house. And, like, you know, and the ring camera caught him going in or caught him ringing the doorbell. That's not what I heard. What I heard is that they were having, she was having her conversation outside. So whenever you, on the phone. So whenever you go outside, the ring camera, like, doorbell kind of catches the movement, right? And then it turns on. Then it starts recording if you hit that tab. That's the way I have it. So I can see every kid that tries to mess with my house. So I heard that.
Are there a lot of those?
That was the case. So the husband hears this information, like, here's the, sees the ring light, ring goes, listens to the conversation because it's picking up all the noise, and then it says, holy crap, hires a private investigator, starts digging into exactly what's going on, and that's what led to the ultimately them finding out everything that went on. So right. it was the ring camera that alerted him that they were, that she was talking on the phone with him during the conversation, like, you know, oh, baby, I always want to make some love to you, like stuff like that.
Oh, God. Yeah.
No, I'll meet you. I'll meet you. My husband ain't home. I'll meet you. I'll be over there in a little bit.
I'll be right around the corner.
All right, listen, we'll get more into that. Like I said, at the top of the hour, because the Celtics, it was media day. Some of them addressed it. You'll be interested to hear what some of them had to say. Very interesting, I would say, comments from some of these players as well, and some of them pretty open. But coming up next, we want to dive more into this game. Ravens 37-26 over the Patriots. Get our thoughts, our takeaways from this game. And again, we are expecting to talk to Mac Jones. We'll see, as of right now, from 4 to 6. We'll see if that changes. But we'll talk more, Pats. Dive into this game. That's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
Jones. Too tall and picked off. Marcus Peters. 32nd career interception for Peters, and Jones is hurt. Injury to insult in this fourth quarter as their quarterback limps off.
Tough break for the New England Patriots, not only in this game here, the second half, turnovers, I believe 4 turnovers in the last 5 possessions. It was an ugly finish. And it got even uglier, of course, in that final play for the New England Patriots as Mac Jones went down, limped off the field. And again, according to Tom Pelissero and Mike Giardi, Pelissero saying that pretty severe high ankle sprain, there are second opinions coming. And Giardi saying the team source, they're feared that he may actually have a significant tear in that ankle. We'll wait on more of that. But let's get into this ball game, because as we do every week, kind of come in here right away, give our 3 things, 3 takeaways from this game. Mego, I'm going to start with you. This Patriots loss.
Oh. All right. So, you know, I know we're supposed to focus on what we saw, but this week I'm going to focus on, aside from all the Mac Jones drama and everything, what we didn't see. And that's Hunter Henry. Where the hell is Hunter Henry?
I am
putting him on the side of a milk carton, because he's been missing through these first 3 games of 2022. He's been targeted just 5 times. Only 3 catches. No touchdowns. This was your number one red zone threat outside of Damian Harris all last season. And besides that, he was attached at the hip with Mac Jones off the field. Same time last year, he had 13 targets, 10 catches through the first 3 games of 2021. Your red zone efficiency, not great. You're 4-for-9 in the red zone so far this season. I just don't understand why he appears to be no part of the red zone strategy for this team so far.
Well, Bill was on this morning, and I'm looking for the quote here. Oh, yeah, so when it comes to that was actually Kendrick Bourne. So when it comes to Hunter Henry, Is it the same way they view Kendrick Bourne? Is it personnel situation specific? you know, is it the Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry splitting reps if they don't go two tight ends? Like, who gets, you know, first shot at, you know, the one back, one tight end looks? You know, is one guy more of a blocker, the other guy's more of a receiver? Can you get more out of Jonnu Smith than you can Hunter Henry? I don't know.
Well, we haven't gotten any indication that it's anything like the Kendrick Bourne situation, because that came out of training camp and preseason, where there was apparently a lot of off-field and equipment issues and being late for one meeting ahead of the Carolina Panthers preseason game, and all these questions around his performance. We haven't heard anything like that about Hunter Henry going into this season. It's just been very quiet, and he's just been completely off the radar, to the point where I texted you guys during the game. I go, Henry.
Yeah, he caught a pass.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah, do you think coaches play favorites? Do you think they have favorites?
He's out there 74% of the time in this game. He's out there 77% of the time. The opening game, I think it was like 50%, a little bit low, but the tight ends were low in that second game. But it's not like Kendrick Bourne, where he's not getting the snaps. He's not getting on the field. I agree. And last year, if you remember, if you go back the first 2 weeks, it was last year, Jonnu Smith was actually getting 4 or 5 catches a game the first 2 weeks. And then New Orleans happened, where he looked like he couldn't catch a football. And then Hunter Henry sort of took off. And it wasn't a ton of volume, but it was like, you know, 2 catches, 1 touchdown. You know, 4 catches, 1 touchdown. You know, so there was the red zone again. I'm with you. I don't know. I mean, the thing is like, it's not like Jonnu Smith, where like year one you looked at him and said, huge disappointment, we need more out of him. This is one of the bright spots. This was one of the good free agents that they signed.
And by the way, he's making a crap ton of money.
Yeah.
So I know that they're not supposed to look at what they're paying guys and try to get the most out of it. But I just think, once again, it's another case of, we heard that this offense was being streamlined, revamped, in order to get the ball in the hands of playmakers. And Hunter Henry was one of your top two playmakers last season. So it's just a strange regression, at least in terms of production.
Yeah, he needs to be involved more. So I like that, because I was thinking the same exact thing. And then sure enough, he caught a pass. The one pass that they threw to him, he caught. Tough catch, too. But for me, I don't know. At no point in this game did I think that the Patriots are going to, you know, close it out. I actually was just waiting for them to screw it up. Which I think is more of, would be our father's Patriots team, Lou. Like, it would be yours, Mega. Like, because, like,
depends
our kids,
how old you are.
Like, our kids, there. If our kids were to say my parents, Patriots team, would mean that they sucked. No, it'd be good.
No,
right?
if you got a young kid, it's not your father's Patriots, because those are 20 years of excellence. Yeah.
Even if you're my age, it's not your father's Patriots team, because that was still the last, like, it was still 20 years ago winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah, so I think it's like, it's back to that. It's back to, I was there at Sullivan Field. It's like, it's those days. It's when they couldn't win. They couldn't get out of their own way. And the games were always blacked out. Because I kept feeling like, I felt like they played 3.5 great quarters. 3.5 quarters of, like, good, solid football where they weren't screwing it up, where they weren't wasting opportunities, and they weren't making critical mistakes. And then they did everything I didn't want them to do. And I just feel like that's more of their DNA. I mean, like, their DNA is more of, okay, you wait for it. Like, another team, you wait for it, they'll cough it up. You wait for it, they'll do something stupid. You wait for it, they'll have a holding call, an offsides penalty, a pass interference, or the coordinator will call a stupid fourth down play, and you'll be scrambling to try to complete it. To me, like, that's dangerous territory right there, when even when you're playing well, you internally go, are we going to mess this up? Because I feel like that's what they're turning into.
And it's funny, because watching that game, you hear the announcers say time and time again, like, this doesn't look like Patriots football. This doesn't. And you go, well, I don't know if we can sit here and say this is Patriots football or not Patriots football. The better way to phrase it, I think, would be, this doesn't look like a Bill Belichick team for the most part. You look at the last couple years, and time again, we've been saying, that's not what a Belichick team does. They don't have those stupid penalties. They don't have 12 guys on the field on a defensive snap.
Like, you know, and you're absolutely right. But this is, for me, I almost felt like before the Mac Jones injury, I was kind of looking at a moral victory Monday.
Really?
Yeah, because my bar is set differently than yours.
Wow.
You know, when you're talking about them disappointing, I don't think they're a very good
football team.
It's a moral
victory Monday.
But, and that, before Mac got hurt, then it sort of changes the whole thing, because you mentioned it. For three quarters, you sat there. Offensively, they were doing things I didn't think they were capable of. You know, they were throwing. He was accurate down the field. There were some big plays. I thought they were running effectively. I thought defensively, they were kind of harnessing Lamar Jackson. Remember that first half? I thought was fantastic. That drive at the end of the first half to get 3 points, that was so old school. And then to come out at halftime and go right down the field and score a touchdown, you're like, huh, okay. Like that feeling alone, granted it was 2.5 quarters, really 3 quarters, and then Mac threw that first pick, which was awful. Then I sat there and said, okay, this is you can work with this. Like we can work with this. You know, like this could be 9 wins. I don't know. And then, you know, then he gets hurt. So even if they had lost and he didn't get hurt, I would have felt better about what I saw offensively. And just wonder what defensively what happened that second half to sort of lose focus on Lamar Jackson.
So that's your takeaway. That's your moral victory Monday was ruined by his injury.
No, because I was actually looking at it going, yeah, this looks pretty. And without Kyle Duggar, we know how big of a role that was with Lamar Jackson. I thought that they contained him, but again, he blew up in that second half. They blew up in the fourth quarter, and you know now we start focusing in on things. It's like, you know, Mac Jones. I know he's hurt right now, but okay, he looked good for 3 quarters, but. You know, he looked bad in the fourth, obviously, late in games. So now it's like, okay, well, I wanted to see more of it. Say, okay, can he recover and look better in fourth quarters? Is this going to be the issue that we have?
See, to me, they're trending towards the worst possible position as an NFL team. Like, you're not great, you're not terrible, you're just kind of right in the middle. So you don't necessarily win every game. You don't lose every game. Like, you win some games you shouldn't, and you lose some games that you should easily win. So, in the end of the day, you end up 500. And it's just a head-scratching, frustrating, emotional roller coaster that drives you freaking insane because you sit there and go, wow, we got a good team, but, you know, it's only a couple plays. It's only a couple plays. Like, that whole line from Bill after that Miami game, hey, it's only – other than a couple plays, it's pretty even. All right, so what are we at now? Is it other than like 8 plays, it was pretty even? Like, is that the difference that we're talking about? Or is Lamar Jackson such a unicorn, such a psychopath, like on the football field, that it didn't matter what you did, you were never going to overcome 4 interceptions, 4 turnovers. You're not that good. You can't do that. Nelson Aguilar, you can't cough the ball up twice in 3 weeks, like off a catch. Like, to me, these are things that just haunt you. Like, if you look at their turnover differential right now in the NFL, the Patriots are number 2 in the league. And we're actually tied with the Jets, New Orleans, and I can't forget who the other team was. And those teams, the Commanders. So it's those 3 teams. And those teams are combined 3-6. There's a reason why the worst turnover differential teams are the worst in the league, because they keep coughing it up. So New Orleans is always going to be a crappy team. The Commanders will always be a crappy team. Patriots, you can't sit there and be crappy. So Mike Reese had this, and I'll shut up. Mike Reese had this last night. I thought it was important because if you go back to where Mac Jones was last year. So he has 5 interceptions already. Last year, he didn't have 5 interceptions till week 5 after the 5th game. He's already way above his average over 1 year. All these signs are scary, I guess, if you're a fan.
But Christian, doesn't that go back to perhaps what it feels like the coaching is forcing him to do? Or asking him to do, I should say, which is not really playing to his strengths in my book. But quickly to your point, Lou, like, I felt very similar to you in watching the first half and first half of the third quarter, I'd say,
yeah,
where I never expected this offense to put up 26 points. And I was impressed that Mac was able to improvise, that Devontae Parker was able to find those deep connections when it worked. And that, you know, Ramondre Stevenson finally started to explode. Dietrich Wise was a total pig.
Nice.
Like,
oh, look at you.
Nice. Like 3 sacks
the
on
lingo.
They looked like they were really containing Lamar in a really smart way. And I was watching it going like, huh, there's like some really good stuff here to build on. This is making me feel a little bit like that Dallas game last year where I watched and I go, this team doesn't suck. This team's going to rip off some wins this season. And I was getting a little amped up. But the thing that I kept coming back to was Mac didn't look like he was excelling in the areas where we've seen him excel. Like, we talk about his strengths being his judgment, the way he's able to see things at the line, like in all these really quick processing things. And those weren't his strengths yesterday at all. His decision making was really rough at some points.
Yeah.
And that's not all on him. Some of it was also guys like Devontae Parker running the wrong routes or not understanding what the read is or all of these different disjointed things on the offense. But I also go back to, okay, it's great to see Mac Jones be able to scramble, be able to run in, rush for a touchdown. Good for him to see those elements of his game. But it troubles me more to see the stuff that he wasn't doing that we took as kind of givens to what the strengths that this young quarterback had.
You know, I do think there's I would call them Zach Wilson mistakes.
Mega. Yes, yes, totally.
Just random, reckless, you know, I got to make something happen because I do feel like there's this – I feel like he – and this is me just spitballing – has kind of accepted this burden, like an extra burden that he has to do more, that he has to do extra, that he has to be better and smarter and anticipate better and throw better, like all those things because of the situation that they're in. And I do think that he takes unnecessary risk in this game. And just overall, and it's only been three games, and maybe it'll change. But hell, we may not know for another 5 weeks.
There are some sort of like, hey, throw it up deep, 50-50 ball. It seems to be something stressed with this team. I don't know. Give guys an opportunity. But remember, he also had a pick that was right in the linebacker Queen.
Yeah,
is that his name? Like right in his hand.
That he dropped.
You know, the first
interception. Oh, he should have went 99 yards.
Yeah, the first one should have went back. Oh, yeah. The second one was an awful interception, if you ask me.
Yeah,
too.
Good point.
So, what you guys are basically saying is that he looks like a rookie this year.
Yes.
And last year he looked like what he probably should be looking like this year. And I would agree with you 100%. You know, like he looks like a rookie. He's making the decisions. He's making throws that we were sort of making fun of other rookies, you know, last year. And this is kind of where he's at. And the problem with this Patriots team is it's a complete role reversal for fans that for years the Patriots would sort of be in a dogfight and you just felt like, you know what, the other team will do something stupid. And the Patriots will take advantage of it, and a one-point game will be 11 or 15 points in a matter of 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, right? The Pats will go down, they go up 8, boom, here comes the pick, here comes the stupid penalty, or you know, strip sack, and now they're up 14, 15, and you're sort of breathing heavy. You know, you're breathing easier, I should say. You're now that team. Like, you're now the team that if a team's like, hey, let's just stay close in the fourth quarter. They will cough the ball up. That's my point. But I'm just saying it's the role reversal.
Yeah, no.
They don't. What was it? The whole phrase of it's not about going out there and winning a game, just making sure you don't lose it.
Yeah.
And we always laughed at the league and said there's so many teams out here that just lose the game. Like, you're just going to play a sound game and you'll win because they'll lose it. That's who you are now.
But, and Lou, it's not a surprise. Like, I don't like seeing it for Mac Jones, the way that we saw him screw up yesterday with his decision-making and all these things again that I think were givens after we saw him through the first half of last season. But it's not a surprise, given how disjointed and weird and messed up the whole situation is with from the play calling and revamping the offense and spending 5 weeks in the summer installing something that you're barely using, or if you're using a weird tweaked version of it that Christian absolutely does not accept as
it doesn't
zone
exist
running.
Anymore. It doesn't. So, it doesn't exist.
I'm not surprised, but even before the injury, I was concerned and I was going, well, it's fun to see these other dimensions of Mac's game. But what about the stuff that he already was innately doing well? Because that's the stuff that I think those of us who saw long-term, you know, commitment to Mac from this team were saying, he's always going to have this. He's always going to have a great brain. He's always going to, or almost always, going to make the right read and the right decisions. And I wonder how much of it goes back to them saying, well, the kind of offense we're running now is we're chucking it deep, Mac. This is how you win in the NFL. We can't just dink and dunk down the field. The kind of offense we're running now is you throw a 50-50 up to Devontae Parker and you pray that he goes up and gets it. And when he doesn't, oops, that's a turnover for you, buddy. That's an interception on your stat sheet. And so I'm not giving him a pass on it, but I'm saying that I'm not surprised.
Well, I mean, overall, like the sequence that was crazy to me was the punt return by the Ravens that gives them great field position.
DuVernay.
Yeah, then they go down there and score. Patriots gets the ball. They get the ball back. They go all the way down. It's first and 10 on the 39, and they're only down 5. You know, okay, and this is when Mac kind of flopped. Looked like he flopped. You know, it was kind of funny. And then Parker,
He just jumped.
He was hoping to get like some sort of penalty. Like, I like the attempt, but that was a terrible.
Lobbing fish.
Like everybody's laughing. And sure enough, you throw that interception to Parker, which completely just slows down everything. And then they take the ball down and they get points.
All right, tell me, because you actually, you know what? When we come back, I want you to tell me, because I think that's on Mac Jones. You think it's on Devontae Parker. And listen, some of you guys are lined up. You want to talk about this game as well. Disappointing loss. I know there were still some good things, but of course, all of it comes down to Mac Jones limping off the field, and now we're talking second opinions, and he's going to be out for a while. So we'll get your reaction, Patriot fans, on this loss and the loss of one Mac Jones. 617-779-7937. We'll do it next.
Can you share even what happened, if there was any contact on the play? I'm sorry, but they didn't show a replay before I came down. Just why Mac was limping?
No.
Very informative.
It's not nice.
Good try, though. You know, I'm sorry. I wasn't here earlier. I haven't seen the video. What happened? No. No, that's it. By the way, right now it's time for to review this week's powerful play brought to you by Enel. Damian Harris's two-yard run ended a seven-play, 75-yard drive that put the Patriots up 20-14. And Enel, the official energy partner of Gillette Stadium. Again, we are waiting. We were talking. Right now we're still planning on talking to Mac Jones. He's supposed to address the media. Yes, we are, Bill. I swear to God, we're supposed to.
No.
Bill, will you please stop? Okay, from 4 to 6 at some point we're going to get Mac, I promise. All right, let's get back to your calls. Well, let's start with your calls, shall we? Let's start with, let's go to Cal and Quincy. Go ahead, Cal, you're on.
Hey, gentlemen. Hey, Mago, how you doing?
So, What's up, dude?
I like the fact that Parker stepped up. Mac was had a decent game up until the third quarter. You know, he fell apart, you know, making some stupid throws. He's trying to do too much, obviously. But I really think that they should have started run the ball when they were down five. Christian hit the nail on the head. You know, you're throwing up an easy pick in the end zone. Go to your strengths. Your offensive line is your strength, running the football. Stevenson, he hits the hole. He was moving. I didn't like the play calling. I think that they should have just systematically controlled the ball. They could not stop. You know, that kid's phenomenal. The quarterback is phenomenal for Baltimore. It was an impressive three quarters, and then they just fell apart. That's what I got out of the whole thing.
So, okay, thanks. So the Stevenson does look great. I wish he can be involved more. The other thing is, like, so the play calling. What do you think about the play calling? Anybody?
I was excited to see play action. I was like, oh, look, and it works.
See, my only issue with the play calling was the fourth down calls, the fourth and ones. I didn't like the fourth and one, and I didn't like the two-point conversion. So, and I always thought that that's where you would end up seeing it the most. Like, not like, you know, in a 15-play drive. You can't
seeing
tell
it as
play.
An issue?
Yes, yeah. Seeing it as an issue. Seeing it as, okay, this is going to come back. You're not very good at this, because none of the plays even looked remotely like they were going to work. As soon as the ball was snapped, like, uh-oh, they sniffed this one out. Like, you're not fooling anybody. So if you can't fool them because you're not clever enough to fool them, well, then, you know what? Just let them know you're going to fight them. And just bring in an extra guy and just run downhill and let the backs get the 1 yard. Like, you're trying to sneak attack them and trick them, and you're not fooling anybody. So that was my issue with the play calling, and ultimately I think that's where you're going to see it. Like, that's it right there. Short yard situation,
well,
got to have a place.
Point as far as, like, running the football, I thought they were really good on the ground, and they showed it all game long. And it wasn't like they got away from it. Again, in the first half, they ran the ball 13 times for 69 yards. Like, what was it, 5.3 or whatever it might be. In the second half, they ran it 15 times for 76 yards.
Yeah, Stevenson's average at one point was, like, 10 yards a carry or something crazy.
Yeah, I mean, he ran 12 carries for 73 yards. So 6.1 a carry. But I'm just saying, they ran the ball 13 times in the first half, 15 in the second half. Both halves were like over 5 yards a carry. They ran the ball effectively. You know, the play act, I mean, as far as the play calling goes, I did remember that graphic. I think it was early on when they were talking about this offense. And they had a stat. It was just, it's unbelievable. And I don't think you need to be from Yale and work in the analytics department to figure this one out. But when Mac Jones is under center, the graphic they put up is they run the ball 84% of the time when he's under center. And when he's in shotgun, they throw the ball 74% of the time. So maybe a little bit more balanced there, I guess. But, I mean, how predictable can you be? We've talked about it before. There was some pre-snap motion at times in this game. But, you know, when you're constantly under center, and that means you run the ball. And when you're constantly in shotgun, that means you throw the ball. And there's, you know, you just lack a bunch of stuff. Like, I mean, it's just becomes predictable. Let's get back to the calls. Let's go to Mike in Maine. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Christian, you can't compare the 5 interceptions this year to the 5 interceptions last year, because they wouldn't let him throw the ball last year at the beginning. So I bet he's thrown it twice as much this year as last year.
Well, that's a good point. The because we spent a good chunk of the first 4 weeks of the season saying let him throw it, release the hounds.
I didn't say that. I said the exact opposite.
But I still think it is valid. I still think it's valid that, and I would say even if you just take the near misses. Forget about the overall interceptions. Let's take the ones out that you think aren't his fault.
So take out the Aguilar ball.
Take that out. Take out the one yesterday, the Parker one. I don't think it was his fault at all. And then you just take it and then add the near misses, the one yesterday, the one the week before that. Those are the ones, like the interceptions that he's throwing, there's like four guys in the area.
Well, first off, through three games, he's thrown 97 passes attempt.
Okay.
Last year through three games, he threw 120.
Oh, look at you with the math. Excellent job, Lou.
So, and part of that was 51 versus New Orleans, but still, you get the point. He was always throwing 30, 35 times, you know, a game. You could question, like, the distance in which he's throwing the football, which is a big difference because I think this year, too, was like, was it average air yards per attempt was 12.1 yesterday. As a rookie, it was 8.8, I think it was. So, and even this one here, throwing the ball more downfield. But, I don't know, you tell me the first interception, was that because he was airing it out?
Which one?
The one that was right to the guy in the middle of the field?
Oh, no, that was 15, terrible 10, throw. 15.
And how about terrible the one throw to Queen that should have been picked for six?
Terrible read. Terrible
read. 5 yard out? So, the Devontae Parker chucking it down the field, there's going to be a lot more interceptions that way because it's already been, three of them? Every time they throw to Parker, you know, not every time, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I don't know you can sit there and just say you can't compare the two.
Well, now that you actually give me the number that they've actually thrown it more
220 times in three games
then I don't. Then you're right. Then it doesn't. Listen, if you're going to use your eyes, to your point, when we start the show, and just trust them, like the throws are worse. The interceptions are worse. Like if you're throwing, I'm like, even the announcer's like, what? Why didn't he see the linebacker?
His first game against Miami, he went 29 for 39, 74 completion percentage, 280 yards. 29 for 39. Game one is a rookie. You know, you could question whether they're all dump-offs and they weren't looking deep at all, but still, threw the ball 39 times, threw the ball 30 times in game two against New York, and then against New Orleans, again, 51 times. Came back against Tampa, 40 times. Threw the ball 160 times in the first four games. Like, throwing the ball more, but obviously they're a little shorter. Maybe less riskier.
But why have they moved so far away from that, where it feels like they've gone into the deep end with being like, okay, just chug it deep. Just go for the 50-50 ball. Just look at Devontae Parker. It feels like it's such a wild
swing.
Well,
they're trusting him more.
Are they just trying to get him to be more aggressive in a different way because they think that that's the way that the league is moving in, but that's not necessarily the kind of quarterback that he is right now.
I know, but look at the interception. So the interception yesterday to Parker, like, that wasn't Mac's fault. It was Parker's fault. He didn't run the right route.
Litigate this, please. I will litigate it 100%. X's and O's.
And I will bring you to the TV copy. Oh, we got a break. I bring you to the TV copy. Okay, the TV copy shows Mac Jones screaming cover four, effing cover four. Okay, he's angry. He's slamming his helmet. Then he says, F. He's pissed because obviously he made an adjustment. He made he changed the play. Parker doesn't see it, or he sees it and he doesn't know what to do. Either way, Mac has already identified to everyone that he's throwing the corner out based on the coverage. Check, check, alert, alert. The right side sees it. He's the only one on the left side. He doesn't see it. Then, since he's indecisive, he doesn't know what to do. He comes off the line slow. Humphrey hems him up, locks him up, and then Mac throws the ball where he's supposed to go. That's the best, most advantageous
play. You don't think he had time
play
to just see, oh, geez, he screwed this thing up. Let me throw it away and take the field goal.
Is he a 50-50 ball? Is he a 50? Listen, we're making plays here. We're trying
to
win a
you're
championship.
You're in the red zone. It's like I'm
throw,
just saying.
Catch the no, run the freaking right route.
I get it.
Not an opportunity. He was throwing it in a position for him to make a play like he was doing all day, Lou. Like Parker was a pig, right?
Yeah, he was.
He was a werewolf and a pig. We're a pig.
No, I just think I wonder if there's enough time to see that he wasn't running it properly. The kind of look and see
the.
I put it on Mac, but not throwing the ball away.
You're out of your mind.
Take the 3 points. Like, throw the ball away.
Not a chance.
All right.
Forget it.
Whose fault was it?
Some sort of robber here.
Yeah, whose fault was it? Greg Bedard. Whose fault was it? Mac Jones or was it Devontae Parker? 617-779-7937. All right, listen, when we come back, I want to dive into who could potentially be the next quarterback for the New England Patriots. How you feel about Brian Hoyer? We'll do that quickly. Then we're going to dive into some media day for the New England, for the Boston Celtics. We'll talk Brian Hoyer. How confident are you? Brian Hoyer being the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots. Do it next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.